Hi, I'm Moji Alawodeyau from the Feminist Buzzkills Live Pod, the only podcast that helps you navigate the news in this post-pro anti-abortion hellscape. Each week, with co-host Liz Winstead, we dissect all the news from that sketchy intersection of abortion and misogyny with providers and activists working on the ground. The cherry on top is we have amazing comedy guests who help us laugh through the rage. Feminist Buzzkills Live drops Fridays wherever you pod. Listen and subscribe, because when BS is popping, we pop off.
You ever wonder if your routine is actually working or if you're just hoping it is? The Hume Band gives you real answers. It tracks your body 24/7, heart rate, sleep stages, recovery, stress, even blood oxygen, so you can see exactly how your habits impact your health. Not just steps, real data. You'll start to notice patterns, like how a bad night of sleep affects your recovery or how stress is holding you back. And instead of guessing what to fix, the app gives you clear, personalized insights based on your data, so you can stop second-guessing and start making smarter decisions for your body. Visit HumeHealth.com to get the Hume Band today.
Welcome to the Start Me Up podcast, part of MSW Media and the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. I'm your host, Kimberly Johnson in D.C. Today, my returning guest is the lovely, the talented, the very popular Jody Hamilton. We had a lot of fun. We recorded the show yesterday, airing it today. But before we get into it, the Start Me Up podcast is independent and woman-run. On Tuesdays, I do a What's Up show just for patrons, where I talk about everything personal. It's like an online diary. I also have a tier that offers no ads, ad-free show, and shorter intro. Just visit patreon.com/startmeup. Check out the tiers. Support the show today. Now, please enjoy my conversation with Jody Hamilton. Welcome back to the show, Jody.
Thank you, Miss Kimberly.
I can see you, but you can't see me. And no. You're at the politics bar.
I am. I'm always at the politics bar.
Well, why don't you plug that show? Talk about some of the guests that you've had on recently.
Well, recently, we are about to have Tara Devlin on next week. We were very excited about that. We had Hal Sparks last night. We're having Carlos Alazraki today. We've had Sherry Jacobus on.
Barbara McQuaid recently.
Barbara McQuaid, she was last week. Yeah, she was so sweet because it was a last minute ask. And she's like, of course.
That's so sweet.
She's so nice. I love her so much. And as you know, we've had Uncle Martin Sheen.
Yes. Yay.
Whom I adore. I adore him and Aunt Janet so much.
I know. And I'm so grateful because of you. Now I basically work for him, and I get, you know, it's so funny because his daughter, Renee,
I love her so much.
Yeah, she is such a sweetheart, and she's the producer of his podcast. So she's who I work with.
Right.
And it's so funny because usually we talk about once a week, but we didn't talk for a couple of weeks.
Oh,
things got really busy. And then, so the last time we caught up, we were on the phone for 2 hours and probably 20 minutes was work.
That's like when Lonnie and I, when she asked us to come to their home, to her parents' home in Malibu, it was just supposed to be brunch. And to kind of go, okay, so my friend Allison would like to host your podcast, and this is what you're going to do. Hi, kitty. There's my cat.
I see your beautiful kitty.
You can almost see her. Yeah. And so we had our brunch, and then Martin took us back to where he records the show. And then we stayed longer, and then we had lunch, and then it was about 3 p.m. We got there at 11 in the morning, or 10:30, quarter to 11. It was about 3:30, and I'm like, I have to go home. Go to bed. and Aunt Janet goes, do you want to stay for dinner? We're getting some salmon delivered. I mean, we were pretty much moving in at that point. You know,
I just love him.
They are the nicest cutest people.
And they are so sweet and so cute.
They are.
And, you know, it's funny because, and I'm going to bring it up even though, because I mentioned this movie to Renee and she always cringes. But, you know, I think I talked to you before about that movie Sweet Hostage with Linda Blair. Did you see that movie?
I probably did back in the day. I don't remember.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. And I told Bob, I want to watch it again. I've seen it several times. And the thing is, you know, I mean, it's terrible because he kidnaps Linda Blair, right?
Right.
But he's an escaped mental patient. So it's not like, you know, it's pro-kidnapping or anything like that. But anyway, I just, you know, I watched a little bit of it on YouTube recently because I thought, I wonder, does it hold up? Mm-hmm. And it actually does. And I think the reason is because of him. And it's because he's such a good actor, and he really was a babe. And I found out that Linda Blair, who was 16 at the time of filming, yeah, and he was 35, completely fell in love with him, which I absolutely would have done. I would have absolutely fallen in love with him. I mean, I probably would have towered over him.
She was with Rick Springfield when she was 16. Yeah. So that makes sense, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, you know, when you're a teenage girl and you're discovering your sexuality and there's a man that is, you know, authoritative and talented.
Attractive.
Yeah. And charismatic. Of course, you're going to develop raging crushes.
Of course.
And so I know I would have. But that movie is so good because he in that film, you mm-hmm. know, he is obviously delusional. He's mentally ill, mm-hmm. and he is kind of under this impression, or I can't remember the exact storyline, but he speaks in like poetic language. He acts like he's nobility, and he kind of transfers that onto her. He names her Christabel, and eventually she winds up falling in love with him, and then he gets caught and killed and all that stuff. So, but it's just kind of a fast, and it's like, I know Renee gets so upset because of the fact that it's like pedophilia. And I said, but you know, he was an escaped mental patient. Everyone knew that.
Yeah. So, he wasn't good in the head. So
right.
his whole way of dealing with it would have been different than a quote, not mentally adult man, hopefully.
Yeah. Like Eric Swalwell. But yeah, we're going to get to that in a minute. But yeah, I mean, it was just, it's such a good movie, and I am looking forward to seeing it again. And I do think that I think some of these 70s movies, these made for TV movies, kind of still, they're still good.
Some of them are.
Yeah, not all of them, but like Little Girl Who Lives Down the Lane is another one that he's in with Jodie Foster. And again, he's a creeper, but he's really good. So,
well, he's good at playing, Dead Zone. Let's just go with that. You know, he literally puts a baby up in front of him so he doesn't get shot, you know. I mean, that's pretty evil.
Yeah.
But he is like, I mean, I want everybody that, I mean, if you ever get to meet him, he is, and so is Janet, they're the whole family. I mean, I've met Renee, and I met her parents, and I met Emilio a long time ago. He wouldn't remember me. I mean, he knows who I am now because of Stephanie, but that's it. But I met him 1,000 years ago when my brother was working on Young Guns 2. And so that's how long ago that was. And they're just the nicest humans.
Yes.
They're just so humble.
Yeah. That's what I told, I said to Bob, I'm like, you know, if we ever, we're going to go to LA, I don't know when, and we are going, we keep talking about it, so we're going to do it.
Yes.
But I said, you know, that's one of the, for sure, that's one of the actors that I would like to spend time with if possible, because he is so real. Because there are no heirs.
They'll just get a guest room for you guys. And
we can just move in with them.
I mean, the favorite thing that Lonnie, when we were talking, he was so cute. He was like, you know that kid, he was in the Mission Impossible movies? And Lonnie goes, Tom Cruise? He goes, yeah, that one.
That kid.
When they did The Outsiders, because he's in the movie, The Outsiders, he and Emilio became fast friends. And so Tom Cruise lived with them for like 3 months in that house.
Wow. Just crazy. I know. I saw, you know, the Charlie Sheen documentary showed us all of that. A lot of the house.
And that's the house. It's not much different.
Wow. That's so cool.
It is cool.
I'm just going to say again, thank you for introducing me. It's just
a pleasure
to do this job and then to also get to know Renee. So,
yeah.
Let's just go right into it with Swalwell.
Okay.
Let's go into the Swalwell story.
So disappointed.
It's incredibly disappointing. And it does seem, you know, I mean, I'm not going to apologize for bringing up the patriarchy, because the patriarchy is so everything, right? It's fucking everything.
Yeah.
And so while I don't completely blame, or I don't put it only on the patriarchy, because not every man is doing this, right?
And not every woman is bowing to it either. So,
right.
we got to just kind of figure out who's on the right side of everything.
Right. But I mean, what I'm saying is that under patriarchy, not every man is a sexual abuser.
Absolutely.
So, but patriarchy helps him believe that he can get away with it. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a charismatic political leader. He was clearly a star of the Democratic Party.
Absolutely.
What's interesting, you know, I find it interesting, you know, he followed me on Twitter. And I think I might have asked him on my podcast once, and I never heard back. So I just didn't ask again. And I think it's so funny because there are certain men that, you know, when you're in this political crowd that we're in, mm-hmm. sometimes there's gossip behind the scenes, mm-hmm. and you hear about all these men reaching out to women. And I got one guy, and he's a big deal. But what I will say about him, even though I feel, and I won't say his name because everybody loves him, but he wanted, you know, he's married. And he basically was feeling me out, you know, in the DMs to see where mm-hmm. I might be if I wanted to meet with him. There was plausible deniability. However, if you were to show these emails to his wife, I don't think there would be plausible deniability. Mm-hmm. I think he left it open to that. It's not too plausible,
right?
But it's plausible enough.
He enough could deny for her to go, wait, what?
Yeah. If I were the wife, I would know. I would be right. Like, dude, I know what you're doing. You're fishing. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. but the thing about this guy is when I was not interested, he left me alone. So he didn't keep going. He wasn't a creeper like Swalwell. And I don't know. I there's so many thoughts that I have on this, but like, again, you've got this charismatic guy, and some of the arguments that I saw online for him, defending him, even, you know, just like the day after this came out, was that, you know, one of these girls that had reported and remained anonymous said she had been drinking. And
oh.
Yeah, I know. But this, you know, that there was a woman on my Facebook page who mentioned when she was younger, she got into some situation where she had too much to drink. So what she was basically saying was, well, the girls have to take some responsibility for what they've done. And in the account that I heard on CNN, it sounded to me at that time, before the fifth accuser came out yesterday,
right, she just said
that she was drugged.
Yeah.
Because this girl was saying, you know, I was like blacking out. And I mean, I don't know how much, she didn't say how much she had been drinking when she said that he raped her. Mm-hmm. But this new accuser is straight up. She's like, he wasn't my boyfriend. I was aware he was married. And what's really creepy about this is he gave her a card, you know, she's had her own business. He gives mm-hmm. her a card. Oh, I can help you with your business. And then he forms a quote unquote friendship with her. And then they go out to have drinks and she's thinking we're friends.
Right.
I've got a boyfriend. You're married. This is a work situation. We're friendly. And then he drugs her. And then she says, I thought I died. I couldn't get over that. Did you listen to her whole thing?
I watched a little bit of it, and I know Lisa Bloom is her lawyer, and she was mm-hmm. on with Stephanie this morning talking about it. And I mean, that's just like, dude, the whispers about him were he was a womanizer, he was a man about town, and blah, 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 blah. And you know what? Womanize all you want.
Yeah.
That's fine. Date as much as you want until you're married. That's also fine. And if mm-hmm. you have an open marriage, go for it. I don't care. That's between you and your bride. But rape?
Yeah.
No.
And then
he
the dick pics too.
These people. Yeah. He was Cosby-ing these people.
Yes. Yes. And I mean, it's so disappointing as a woman, you're just like, oh my God. Okay. So the president is a pedophile mm-hmm. and all these people in the Republican Party are pedophiles. And you've got Eric Swalwell, who's this like leader who's strong and going against Trump. And he's not a pedophile, but you know, did you see the TMZ stuff?
No.
Okay. So I think it was Feminist News on Facebook. Okay. And they said, you know, say what you want about TMZ, but they're basically holding his feet to the fire. So they have, and I looked for it to make sure it was true, and it's there. So it's nothing like, it's not damning, but he's on a yacht and they called him bleary eyed, which he was. So he clearly had been drinking and partying and whatnot. But there was all these girls on the yacht and they were young. And they, you know, their boobs were in your face and they were dancing and shaking their butts and all that stuff. I don't know what the deal is with these girls on the yacht, Were they hired to be there? Did they go on their own? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't look good. And so on Twitter, you know, when I looked up his name on Twitter, I saw a video, and I wasn't sure, this was prior to seeing the TMZ thing. And it was Eric was on the bed with a girl. And then there was another guy. There was several people there. Clearly someone was filming it. So there was one person filming it. And then there were a couple of other people in the shot. You could really only make out Eric and the girl. And then there was another guy sitting on the bed with them. And so the girl, I don't know, Eric pulls the girl toward him and then he starts making out with her. So when I saw this, and she was young. She wasn't like I wouldn't classify her as underage, but just young.
In her early 20s, late, yeah, like 19, I mean, I would assume 20, 21, yeah, something like that.
I would assume she's of age, right. But that doesn't mean she was, but she looked like she was. But, you know, the thing about it, I thought, was it AI? You know, because I don't know. But then I saw this thing on the yacht and I thought maybe one of these girls took phone, you know, video with her phone and then sent it into somebody. It's, you know, I don't know, but I think we have enough evidence now to say, yes, there is something there. I mean, the Manhattan DA has opened up an investigation.
LA has as well. San Francisco has as well. It's not good for him. And you know what? If he did what he is being accused of, take him down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so disappointed in him. Because he was, it's very Anthony Weiner,
yeah,
and worse on 10. I mean, Anthony Weiner just did D-picks. I mean,
yeah,
this guy did a lot more, and Weiner's gone.
Yeah,
his name is aptly named. but it's like what Eric Swalwell did comparatively is way worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
He was a predator.
Yeah,
and I mean, you think in terms of what his face was, you know, like what he was showing us and then what was behind it all.
Yeah.
I think it's important that we talk about, you know, I know that there, of course, there was a lot of Democrats that quickly
condemned it.
Well, yes, quickly condemned it. But then there were people and I'm always one of these people who say when it's a political accusation,
mm-hmm,
let's take it seriously. I'm not the believer in the phrase of believe women. Not that I'm saying we shouldn't believe women, but I think that we have to understand the story before we start, you know, when all we have is an accusation. Of course, the majority of women who are raped are not liars. They're not lying about it. But get into politics.
Yeah.
And there are a few cases outside of politics, you know, where, yes, there's going to be a woman who lies because she's vindictive or she's angry. 90% women don't lie.
And what was weird was when I first heard the accusation, like everybody else, it's 2 months to the
So you're like timing.
The primary,
yeah.
And I'm like timing. So I wasn't going to buy into it until the CNN report. And then it gets worse. And I'm like, and that's why he resigned. That's why he's gone. I mean, he's politically speaking, he's being very smart about it. I will give him.
He might have been threatened.
I mean, I know Nancy Pelosi said step down. Everybody was saying step down.
Yeah.
Ruben Gallego was having to come out and go, he lied to me.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm going to believe my senator, because, you know, people can live. I do this to the outside and I do this like Bill Cosby, perfect example. Harvey Weinstein, you know, everybody kind of knew, but they didn't really know.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of thing. Like people knew that Cosby was a ladies' man and stepping out on Camille. Nobody thought he was doing what Eric Swalwell is accused of or what he has been convicted and overturned the conviction of. Same with Harvey Weinstein. Everybody knew he was that kind of power player, but nobody knew.
Yeah, what he was doing.
Right. I mean, the women knew, but they were terrified.
Right. Yeah. And that's, I mean, and I understand that Democrat, you know, I think a false comparison on this was Al Franken, because Al Franken was, you know, I mean, there's a debate.
He's railroaded.
I believe, you know, I heard stories and I can't, it was so long ago, but that this woman who was in the picture was in on this, that
yes,
she was aware.
Mm-hmm.
So, but even if we were to say she wasn't aware, even if she were truly asleep, He didn't touch her. He just mocked grabbing her boobs.
And he
was looking at the camera knowing he was being photographed.
Yeah. So it's not like he did it, oops, and somebody caught the shot. He knew what was happening. It was a setup, and it was a comedy setup. And apparently, wasn't she good friends with Sean Hannity when it all came out? Yeah. So.
Yeah. So that was sketchy. But again, even like I said, even if he just mocked grabbing her breasts and, you know, and that's what we know. But nothing like what Eric Swalwell is accused of doing.
Not even close.
So, yeah, I mean, I understand that, you know, Democrats kept pointing that, you know, and saying it was like Al Franken. No, it's not like Al Franken.
No,
it's nothing
not even close.
Like Al Franken.
No, I agree. It's closer to Anthony Weiner, and he even did not as bad as what Eric Swalwell did.
Right.
I mean, what he did was bad, but not that bad.
He didn't rape, at least not that we know of.
Not that we know of, and I think we would have found out by now.
Yes, I think so,
I hope
too.
So.
But yeah, really. But then, you know, and then there's the other thing where the Democratic Party, you know, it's like they get angry because people, not the party, but Democratic voters get angry because Trump and all of the Republicans who are accused of assault, nothing happens to them. And then, but the thing is we can't say, well, then nothing happens to people on our side. Because if we're fighting for democracy, democracy is all about the rule of law. Clearly, the fascists are not going to obey the law. So we don't become the fascists to say, well, if they do it, then we're going to do it. Then we're becoming fascists. Yep. We can't do that. And, you know, I mean, I don't want to I'm going to go back to that Tara Reid story, because I remember when Tara Reid accused Joe Biden.
I remember
my stomach dropped. I was upset. I was terrified. I thought, is she telling the truth? I didn't know. And, you know, I took her serious. I didn't automatically believe her, but I thought, okay, I need to hear what she has to say. And then things were just one by one unraveling and falling apart. And it was clear that she was working for Putin, you know, all her love letter blogs to Putin. And then the pantyhose story, which was funny because my mother privately said that to me. And then Sherry Jacobus was publicly going, the pantyhose thing is fucking bullshit. Yeah. And it is, because back in the 90s, you had to wear pantyhose.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no, if your pantyhose were filled with runs, it didn't matter. You had to keep them on.
Mm-hmm.
And those were hardcore rules. So we knew she was lying. But in this case, there's too many women. And that, and, you know, when people say the timing is suspicious, this is because it's now just coming to light. But behind the scenes, there have been people trying to expose this for a long time, but you've got a charismatic, democratic, popular leader. It's not easy. It's not easy for women to say this. I said on my Facebook page, you and I both know a lot of political influencers, and we know some dirt on some of these people. And these people are beloved. You know, they've got 1 million followers or 200,000 followers or whatever it is. And they're not breaking the law. They're not being sexual, you know, abusers. They're just being assholes. And if everybody knew that they were being assholes, they might have a different opinion. But if I were to go on and say, hey, this really popular political pundit that you love, I'm going to tell you some shit. They would all fucking hate me, not the other person.
Of course. No, so, you're right. You're absolutely right. What bothers me is anybody that was close enough to Mr. Swalwell and also knew this.
Yeah.
I blame them.
Me too.
Not the women.
Right.
No. I blame the people that knew what was happening. The bartenders maybe, or the hotel managers, mm-hmm. or his security staff, whoever mm-hmm. already knew.
Mm-hmm.
I blame them for not speaking mm-hmm. on behalf of these people, because mm-hmm. they're fucked up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and there's a lot to it, because I don't know, you know, we're hearing after the fact that this was the, you know, big secret in politics that everybody wasn't taught, or at least Democratic Party. Obviously, if you're out to dinner with your political operative friend or whatever, and they're like, hey, did you hear about Eric Swalwell? I mean, what are you going to do?
It's a rumor at that point.
Yeah, it's a rumor, and it's not like you're going to build a case on it. But if top people in the party knew about it, then they needed to address it with him.
Yeah.
And I don't know what happened. I don't know if it ever was addressed with him. But somebody,
until
I imagine someone knew. Yeah, I imagine someone knew. And, you know, basically it would be, I don't know what they would have to do or tell. I don't know what goes on at that level and how they work it. But it's a fucking problem. And it's a problem that we can't keep doing this.
Yes.
You know, if you hear about it, nip it in the bud, especially when democracy is hanging by a thread.
I even said,
as I said on my Facebook post, so I just will, and then I'll shut up and I'll let you talk. But like, we can still save democracy and retain our values. We don't have to say keep the predator in because the right has a predator. No, we don't win democracy that way. Okay, I'm done.
No, I agree with you completely. On Monday, it was I said this to Brooklyn Dad Defiant, because he's our Monday regular.
Yeah.
And I said to him, I said, anybody that lives in a red state, if you're a registered Democrat, re-register as a Republican for the general so you don't get thrown off.
Wow. Wow.
Think about it.
That's crazy. Yeah.
If you want to vote in the primaries, and if it's a closed primary, yeah, that stays a Democrat, I'm with you. But as soon as that's done, re-register as a Republican for November, because you are less likely to get thrown off the rolls. It's very Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, that's so sad that that's where we are.
I know, isn't it? Because with Hungary, yay, they had to forestall a lot of the same stuff that Donald wants to do here. Voter suppression was there. They don't have the Electoral College or anything like that, but we don't in the midterms, so that's not an issue. Mm-hmm. But voter suppression was all over Hungary. He owned 80% of the media, and people.
How did they do it then? Just mere showing up.
Yes, they showed up, and there was alternative media that he had not been able to squash, apparently. Mm-hmm. That people got their and 80% voted. So, hi guys, let's vote, people.
Yes, stop saying voting doesn't matter.
It matters, and had it not been a 33-point swing from him, he may not have conceded, but 33 points is 33 points. Mm-hmm. And I mean, even Donald was like, why did he concede? Well, fuck you, Donald.
Donald Jesus Christ.
Dr. Donald Jesus Christ. No, Dr. Donald Christ. Donald Christ. Hi.
Yeah, that's true. Dr. Donald Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's fighting with the Pope.
Don't fight with a Chicago boy, man. Do not.
Oh my God. Like what is, oh my God. With this whole thing. I mean, he posts himself as Jesus and then he says he's supposed to be a doctor. His brain is atrophying.
Well, according to rumors, he was told the picture was doctored.
Oh, so I see. So then he took it as, I was a doctor.
I was a doctor. Have you seen the other memes with like scrubs calling them robes? And there's so many out there right now.
No, there's Noah Wiley. There's one of Noah Wiley wearing what he wore with the thorns around his head.
I mean,
I love people for that reason.
Well, I love AI for that reason. Yes. That's the only reason. It's not as expensive or as bad on the environment for one picture, but stop using it, people. Anyway, you can use Google because that's different, but it's always been AI. Regardless, no, him doing that and then disparaging. I'm a recovering Catholic and Irish Catholic, by the way. Mm-hmm. And so the Pope is the Pope. I'm Guido Sarducci. I'm Father Guido.
Get
right
your
now.
Cigarette out, though.
I know. Yeah. The Pope. But no, it's like he and Frank, Pope Frank and Pope Bob, they were walking Jesus' walk.
Mm-hmm.
And Frank was great, and Bob is better. Mm-hmm. And he's like taking it that much further than Frank did. And the fact that he said, I'm not afraid of Donald.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
What's
he
gonna
do? Like who? Yeah. I mean, really.
I'm in Italy. What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
I'm in what Italy, are you going to do?
And I'm from Chicago. So.
It's like then, Pope Blues Brothers.
It totally is. And when the prime minister of Italy is no longer with Donald because of what he said about the Pope.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's awful.
Oh, my God. Okay. You know what? I want to say, though. Because a lot of the MAGA are, this is what's doing it for them, right?
Yeah.
And there's this woman that I listen to. Her name is Gia Prism. She's on YouTube and she does videos every day and they're like 5 minutes. And she talks about basically how to deal with this. She absolutely comes from a spiritual perspective, although yesterday her perspective was not really spiritual. She was just talking about, she's like, okay, everyone, I get that, you know, the argument is that people are angry at Trump voters because this is what made you turn around, not the fact that he was racist, not, but the thing about this is these people are in a cult. A lot of them are in religious cults. So a lot of this is beyond politics. And when you think about it, it's like, of course, you know, yes, it was bigoted, but these are the kinds of values that's what they were, that they were raised with and have been cemented into their identities. So when you're identifying a certain way and somebody comes along and basically echoes that to you, it's, there's nothing wrong with it. So now he's doing something that, oh, wait a minute, we don't like that you're being Jesus. And it's what it's doing is pulling the string.
It
so
is.
In order to leave a cult, you don't just wake up one day and go, oh my God, I was in a cult. I can't believe I was in a cult. It's all over now. It's years. It's years of deconstructing your identity. Identity doesn't just shift overnight.
No.
And these people have a full-blown identity. And, you know, yes, we all have personal responsibility. But when you're raised in an environment where you're hearing it over and over and over and all your friends are in it and everything you do is dependent on sticking with the group, it's really difficult for someone for that group to go, hey, wait a minute, I don't like what all you guys are saying, because now you're turning against your friends and I mean, I've got this in my family. A lot of us do. And, you know, this family member, everybody in her life is MAGA. So if I come to her with a fact and say, look at this fact about Donald Trump, she's just going to reject it because she's got to go be with her people. And I'm not her people. I'm her family, but I'm not her people.
Right.
So I think it's important when we hear these Trump supporters getting it, when they go, because they're not all the way there. They're still going to carry their racist beliefs. They're still going to have sexist ideas, and they're not even going to see a problem with it because that's what they were raised with. But the unraveling is, you know, when people leave religion, it starts with one thing and then it leads to the next, to the next. And if the Democrats are there or liberals are there screaming at them and going, fuck you, you know, you voted for him and you fucked us over, there's a good chance they may never come out of it completely.
Well, a mutual friend of Lonnie's and mine, he was in a band with this guy years ago, and he voted for Donald, I believe, 3 times. Mm-hmm. And he is now coming out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just said, welcome back to sanity.
Yeah.
And I XO, I'm just going to leave it at that. Just welcome home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I mean, it's like, it's hurtful and upsetting what has happened, but you can't undo it. And all we can do is say, look, If you're genuine and you see what's really happening, then like what you just did is perfect, because then that opens the door for them in the next election. As much as I'd love for this guy to vote for a Democrat, but maybe he won't. But maybe he's not going to vote for the fascist.
Yeah, he's not going to anymore. It was immigration first. Mm-hmm. It was ICE first. And then Epstein, and now the war. These three things are the things. Like, they wanted immigration, but wait, not that guy, not my neighbor, not the guy that cuts my trees, not that guy, you know, not that person, you know, not the nanny down the street, whatever. Not the lady that is my math teacher. I mean, we don't want that person gone. We want the bad guys gone.
Yeah.
We all do. We all want the bad guys gone.
Mm-hmm.
End of statement.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was Epstein, because he ran on that.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's lying about it. And then he also ran on no more wars. There is somebody that I do want to troll who I met in the early 80s. I knew him for years. He fashions himself as he's in his 70s, a hippie. And when Donald won, because he was emailing me on Facebook about Donald Trump. And I was like, dude, you are not in reality. And I just cannot talk to you if you're not dealing in reality. Because mm-hmm. he's like, he's this, that, and the other. Said, no, he's not. You lived in New York. What the fuck are you talking about, yeah. right? And so when Donald won, he emailed Lonnie and me going, are you guys leaving the country? Because he's not going to start another war. I really want to troll him now.
Jody, I love you so much because you're so sweet. And then when you just have this little, even just that you want to troll someone makes me happy.
I just want to go, how you doing there, buddy? How them no new wars, asshole? I mean, yeah. it's real. It's just like, you know what? I knew him since I was like 17 years old. It's 18 wow. years old. And it was heartbreaking.
Yeah.
When he was also Tony Robbins guy. So I,
God,
he's culty.
Yeah.
You know, he falls into that shit.
Yeah.
Like a lot of kids his age, you know, I mean, shit, NXIVM, let's not even start on that. but, I mean, he fell into, I'm certain he was an est at one point. I mean, you know, that kind of thing where he mm-hmm. falls into culty things.
Right.
So Donald makes sense. I don't see the charisma in him. I find him dull and boring and ugly.
Yeah, me too.
But obviously the man has charisma.
Yeah, he does with a certain group of people.
Obviously, otherwise, you know, he wouldn't be where he is right now.
Yeah.
So I just, it's just, I really want to troll my ex-friend.
Well, you know, I mean, I keep saying, it's something that I've been talking about since last year, but, you know, I am so on the one, Trump's going to die thing, you know, natural causes. So, okay, there's the I wrote his name down. I know. Okay. Epistemic crisis.
Yeah. What is that? I've heard about that recently on like TV or something.
Well, all I know is the guy's name on Instagram, who's the doctor. He goes by Epistemic Crisis. So he talks about the fact that, you know, he works with patients basically who have dementia, like Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And so he started last year by just pointing out the different things. And he's like, here's what I think is happening. And I always want to preface this with, okay, nobody gets to sit in front of Donald and actually examine him. So this is a doctor saying, I treat patients like this all the time. This is what I'm seeing. And
right.
he gave sometime last summer, he says, I give Trump 6 to 8 months in the land of the living, or for him to be basically 25th Amendmented out. And it's been consistent, right? We've been seeing every month that goes by, it shortens. He's been consistent. And he's talking about his cankles and how that is indicative of congestive heart failure. But then also he had a speech therapist on who talked about the fact that Donald's saliva is pooling in his mouth.
Yeah,
and
it's
because he's always going like this. And what he does is I think that is his automatic kind of knee jerk reaction to the pooling to make it look like he's emphasizing what he's saying.
Yeah.
You know, that's what he does. And so, but this woman who was some kind of a speech therapist was saying, you know, people who have dementia, they will have pooling saliva because the throat muscles are weakening or something like that. So that was out a while back. So there's all these things that are going on and they've eventually, because of another doctor who did a whole Substack post, because people were like, well, does he have dementia? Does he have Alzheimer's? This doctor's saying he has frontal temporal dementia.
Right.
So it's all explained and blah, blah, blah. So this doctor, so there's two videos that recently, one was on Easter when Trump was standing out on the balcony and Melania was standing next to him and he didn't realize it. Did you see that? Okay, so he was standing there and he's like, where's my wife? And she was standing right there. Then he realized that she was there. And then he had to turn it into something because it was like he realized he fucked up. So he wanted mm-hmm. to make it a joke. So he talked about his movie star wife, whatever, which isn't even true. And then so this doctor was explaining it's called spatial awareness. Mm. And after that, so he said, you know, spatial awareness gets really, really, as you're getting worse and worse in dementia, you are not aware of at where Trump is right now, anything farther away than his head. So it's really close to his face where he's aware of space. And based on that, he gave Trump 2 weeks. Now this was, you know, it was Easter. It was right after Easter. Mm-hmm. So then Melania comes out and she gives her whole thing about Epstein. This doctor comes back on and he's like, okay, here's what I'm wondering. You know, after that whole time that he was missing for a few days, everybody was freaking out wanting him dead, but then he came back. But, you know, he comes back and then all of a sudden Melania does this speech that he's not even aware of. And in a way, she throws him under the bus because she never says, my husband's not guilty.
No, she just says, I'm not guilty.
Right. And so this doctor, I mean, I do think that the Amanda Ungaro story is part of all of this.
I do, too.
However, this doctor is thinking perhaps Melania found out he's going to be dead real soon. So fuck it. I'm going to do it. And that was just his theory. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, 2 weeks. I heard somebody else, some other doctor giving that kind of a you know, diagnosis. And obviously, you never know.
He doesn't have long. And J.D. Vance is trying to, and they're trying to, what did Charlie Pierce say? They're trying to Vance wash him to make him look better than he is. But the MAGAs don't like J.D.
Nobody likes J.D.
He is not liked by Donald's people. He is not liked by regular Republicans. He is not liked by Democrats. He is just not liked. And I mean, it's he's awful.
Yeah, he's really awful. And well, it's also interesting because now all of a sudden, after the whole, I'm going to annihilate a whole civilization, then you get a whole bunch of political influencers turning against him. Mm-hmm. And the same woman, Gia Prism, who I talked about earlier, was like, I wonder if this is a, you know how like they always get their messaging on point, right? Mm-hmm. The Republican Party always has, you know, people take screenshots of the same thing being repeated over and over again.
Right, right.
Well, all of a sudden, I mean, I will say he makes this threat. And maybe the threat alone was enough for some of these political influencers. But she's wondering if it's orchestrated. In an orchestrated attempt to kind of prime everybody up for JD. I don't know. That was a theory. She did not claim that she had any psychic feelings. She just was like, something's a little fishy here that all of a sudden you got this Tucker Carlson, Rogan. I don't know that Rogan would be in on any kind of thing, but I don't know. But Megyn Kelly, and you know, of course, what's her name?
Alex Jones, Marjorie Taylor
Alex
Green.
Jones and Candace Owens has been against him for a while. But yeah, it'll just be, you know, I mean, the party is starting to turn. Mm-hmm. As you were mentioning, it's the war, it's Epstein, and what else? What's the other thing?
Ice.
And then there's, of course, the ridiculous gas prices and how much food is.
Well, and so, I mean, the stupid fucking ballroom, as much
oh
as
my God,
like,
yeah.
That'd be great. No. And the dumb arch that looks like a Nazi arch, by the way.
Yes.
I will move to DC and personally get arrested every day and just throw that fucker down if it gets built.
Oh my
I will.
God.
I'll fucking move there. I will live in a wherever, and I will have a giant sledgehammer and just start tearing the fucker down and get arrested every day for vandalism. I don't care.
Oh my, you know, I hate the whole I feel this in my gut thing because I don't know, but I swear to God, I feel like Donald isn't going to be around that much longer. I just don't think it's going to be, I don't know. And yes, this is hopeful. But it's also, you know, I mean, there's always that hopeful thought, but I try very hard to take out my emotion. But if I did, like, if he were my dad, I would be like, dad's dying. That's what I would say. My father is dying. If Donald Trump and I loved him and he was my dad, that's what I would think. So it's not just me being hopeful.
No, I'm with you on that. He is not well, and his family doesn't give a rat's ass about
him. No, and then oh my God, Keith Edwards just did a video about Ivanka was being interviewed, and they asked her about her mother, and she was crying, and I didn't believe her, and her whole thing was my mother taught me that it's almost better to be underestimated because then you can shock everybody. And she, you know, she's like, I'm going to show you, was her whole interview, and Keith Edwards is like, is she running? And frankly, I don't think Ivanka could make it. You know, I don't think Ivanka would get very far. I don't think the Republican Party would want to have anything to do with her. I really don't.
I she's obviously been very quiet. Mm-hmm. Her stupid husband has not, but mm-hmm. she has, because I think they're going to get divorced.
Well, I wonder when.
It's going to be
think,
soon.
You think so? Why? Why do you think
because that? He's screwed up the Middle East. Mm-hmm. She's been all quiet, making her Chinese money or whatever, mm-hmm. however she makes her own money. Mm-hmm. She's figuring out, because they both have prenups with each other, mm-hmm. I would assume. So the $2 billion that he got from the Saudis, that's marital assets. So she's probably trying to figure out that. Mm-hmm. And she just wants to kind of walk away mm-hmm. and be the good Trump.
Mm-hmm. Mary's already got that covered.
And she definitely does. But Ivanka wants to be the one that the Republicans can trust, mm-hmm. the independents can trust. Look, mm-hmm. I stepped away. I really tried to you know, stop my father from. She didn't talk like that because she's got a sailor mouth, according to Noel Castler. and her voice is kind of deep. So yeah, she can fuck right the fuck off when it comes to. I really love my dad.
I know.
Don't Michael Jackson it, baby girl.
Mm-hmm.
So she is trying to figure out how to rebrand herself when daddy's dead.
Yeah. Yes. Excuse me.
100%. She's never changed her name. She's never changed her name to Kushner, mm-hmm. by the way. Smart. So she can vote.
right. God, that's so sad and not even funny, but it's true.
It's true. I mean, yes. When I was asked when we signed the marriage certificate, when we were signing the marriage license, did you want to change your name? Nope.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, too much fucking paperwork.
Yeah, I know exactly.
It's like I have friends that have legally changed their names to their first husbands, and then have since gotten remarried. And they kept the first husband's
right.
last name.
Because
it's
easier.
A pain in the ass.
Right.
Because you have to change your social security, your everything. I mean, it's just, why do that unless you're going to change your name for you?
Yeah. Right.
I don't get it. Ladies, stop doing it.
Yeah. I'm not married and I've never been married. But if I ever got married, I'd keep my name. So yeah, that's what I would do.
I mean, I get letters and stuff. Lonnie and Jody Johnson. Fine. Mr. and Mrs. Johnson. Fine. I mean, my friends in school called my mom Mrs. Hamilton.
Yeah.
She never changed her name to Hamilton.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Well, I hope this. I know what. There's one. Did one state pass that already?
The SAVE Act.
Yeah.
There are some states that are requiring birth certificates and all that, but most likely it's a red state.
Right.
But part of the SAVE Act is about mail-in voting. Hi, Utah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Super
and Oregon.
State. And Oregon is a mixed, it's a purple state. There's very red areas in Oregon.
Right.
Super duper red that want to move to Idaho.
Yeah.
Not red. I mean, there's Washington, Washington, Oregon, and Utah and Hawaii have always, at least in the past 30 plus years, have always had mail-in voting only.
Yeah.
California started it. I mean, I've been an absentee voter for 20 plus years.
Yeah.
Because it was just like, hey, look, I'm not going to be in town. I'm just going to sign absentee. And I've been getting that for years. I've been voting that way forever.
Hmm.
And love it. it's so easy because you have time.
Yeah.
You're not in a booth. You know, nobody's behind you going, get out of here. You can look at it. And it's just easier to do. And then there's a ballot drop box a mile from my house. So I just walk there and drop it off. It's right by the library. And so, I mean, the fact that Donald voted that way, that motherfucker, and says, nah, it's not good. Fuck you. You were in Florida during the entire voting timeline.
Yeah.
And you didn't vote in person? Schmuck.
I know. Well, because he knows that it's not going to work for him and it's not going to work for the Republicans.
Well, the thing is like, had he done what every other president does and they go into a polling place and they vote and you've got the cameras on, he could have done that.
Right.
They would follow him into a voting area and go, he's come out and he voted for so-and-so. Every other president has done that.
Yeah. but not Donald. And then he wants to take it away. Well, he can go fuck himself and he's going to die soon. So he is. And that's just what I just, that's what I live for, you know, every day, every single day. And it's not even a joke. I wake up and I'm like, is he dead yet?
I know. It's just, it's awful that I feel that same way because I don't like feeling that way about
me neither
person. And he couldn't care less about you, me, or the people that support him.
Yeah. And I mean, he doesn't, he's hurting people. So I just, you know, I mean, I don't want to wish someone dead, but I would wish someone dead if they broke into my house and they were upsetting me and torturing me and hurting me. So yeah, I mean, I do not feel, I don't feel guilty about it. It's just an unpleasant feeling. Nobody wants to have that feeling. Yeah. It's just, it's not good. Nobody wants to live their life like wishing someone would die. That's not good.
No, it's a horrible, horrible feeling. And I hate the fact that I feel that way about a particular human being and it's because of him.
Yeah. I mean, I, he's just so gross. Okay. I'm going to really briefly, I just want to switch this over to some slightly more fun or slash pop culture. And I want to ask you, I've already talked about this on my podcast, so I won't go into detail too much, but have you read Christina Applegate's book?
No, but I like her. Why?
Fucking great. It is so good. I highly, 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 highly recommend it. And for me, it was very specifically, I don't know, it resonated with me because there was so much crossover. I mean, her life is very obviously very different than mine, but there's a lot of crossover. And what I learned, you know, she grew up and has lived in Laurel Canyon basically her whole life. And I did live in Laurel Canyon briefly, but I found out we, through the book, we went to Wonderland School at the same time, and I didn't know. I was in the sixth grade, she was in the third grade. So, you know, I was only there from September until December.
I and know that I, school. I used to drive by there when I lived up Wonderview when Carrie lived up there. I totally know where that school is.
Yeah, and I mean, I'll bet you anything. I don't know if she remembers her because she would have only been eight. But at the time, there was a woman. And I'm assuming she was a prostitute, but she was like a hippie and she would hitchhike up and down Laurel Canyon all the time. That's all she did was hitch up, hitchhike down. And we're like, I just remember her. And then, of course, she talks about the Canyon Country Store, which is, you know, we all love the Canyon Country Store.
They're selling it, apparently.
No.
Yeah. They used to stock Tab for me.
Wow.
They did.
I love, that's just depressing. They're going to ruin it, aren't they? They're going to turn it into like a 7-Eleven or something.
I hope not. I mean, the everybody in the neighborhood doesn't want it to go. So whoever's, I mean, God only knows. I mean, my neighbor down the street sold her house 6 years ago. And now there's two fucking homes being built on one property.
Wow. Wow.
And they're two stories. This is a single story area. And from the 1930s, basically. And the 50s. This is the youngest home is like from the 1960s.
Wow.
And these two, and it's two on one lot, and they're both two stories. One is a smaller unit and the other one, and they both have ADUs. I don't have an issue with ADUs, by the way, but there's no yard anymore. It's just like, it's gross. It's just gross.
Yeah, that's just sad. I don't like that.
It's gross.
Anyway, well, with Christina, she does bring up, she reminded me of a book, I promise you, everybody listeners, I will not get deep into this, but I just have to quickly say, you know, that I did all this visualizing, right? Because I'm into, intentional manifesting.
I like that you do that. I'm trying to do that myself.
And I remember like 6 years ago, my friend said to me, you know, oh, you should manifest because you're good at it. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to get into it. And I started visualizing and I'm thinking, where did I learn to visualize? Where did I learn that? And I couldn't figure it out. And I'm, you know, reading Christina's book and she brings up the book Creative Visualization by Shakti Gawain. I'm like, that's where I learned it because I have that book. And so I was so happy to remember that book. I was like, oh yeah. But so there was like crossover there because she has, you know, she's like, you know, people visualization works, you know, set intentions, blah, blah, blah. So there was that. And then it was also funny because Vince Vaughn was an asshole to her face, just like he was an asshole to my face. That wasn't
a
big, he's such a dick, but it wasn't a big deal that she wrote, but it was there. But it was just, it's so relatable because she talks about her body and she hated her body and she, you can't even believe her life. You can't even believe.
She hated that body?
Yeah, she hated it. And I mean, she was reading from her diary and it sounded like mine. It sounded like my diary. And the fact that her mother was with an abusive man and she was with an abusive man and this horrible thing, I won't say what it is, but it's horrible. And it happened to her when she was like five. And it was just awful. So, but she's an amazing person. It's a fantastic memoir. I highly recommend it. And now I'm reading Lena Dunham's. And I'm just, you know, I think it's interesting because I got caught up in not liking her before I really knew much about her at all. But it was popular not to like her, right? And so I guess I had just been, you know, I heard enough that I got turned off. And then so I meet Bob and Bob's like, have you seen the show Girls? And I'm like, no, I don't like Lena Dunham. And so he kept saying, but I think you would like the show. And then, yes, I absolutely love the show. I think it's fucking brilliant. And now she's got this memoir that she's written and I've just started listening to it. But I realized, you know, I mean, she wrote a show about a girl who was toxic. Hannah, the character, was toxic and like a bad writer. And I think people didn't like the character and thought she was the character.
Equated her with that, yeah.
Yes.
Well, there's Kate Blanchett. Lonnie doesn't like her because he hasn't liked a bunch of characters that she's played.
Right, yeah. Well, and I mean, Lena has gotten so much hate.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I found out that the Adam Driver threw a chair at her, or like he was so angry and he would yell right in her face. And I've lost respect for him for that. And, you know, Bob had said something like that he's a method actor. And it's like, well, method acting doesn't give you an excuse to be abusive. And, you know, Bob agreed. But it was like, I don't care how method you are. You don't threaten and you're not violent. And I learned that about him. But I think I would bet, I don't know how he's been with his other stars, but I would bet that it's because, you know, and she says in an interview, she's like, I've been annoying since I was a kid. You know, I've just been annoying. And I don't know, maybe this whole thing about the hate that she was getting, he got caught up into it too. I don't know, even though she gave him this, you know, wonderful character to play. Who was also not the nicest person. It was a wonderful character, but not the nicest person. But anyway, so I'm reading her book too, and I don't know if you've watched Girls or if you know a lot, but I didn't
watch Sex in the City, so I wasn't going to watch Girls. So,
right. Well, Sex in the City is like the bubblegum version,
right.
And Girls is kind of gritty. It's not the same, but it's like the four friends in New York.
Yeah.
I liked both. I liked both shows. But yeah, the Sex in the City is definitely much more
tame.
Surface. It's like, yeah, surface. And boy, the thing about, I mean, with Girls, what I really appreciate is she gets real with her body. I mean, there's this one episode where she's, you know, I mean, she's not fat. She's fat now. And she, you know, you would describe her as fat now. She was just like, had maybe 15 to 20 pounds, maybe 15 pounds heavier than she wanted to be in Girls. But she was not Hollywood slim by any
right.
And the whole episode, she's running around in a string bikini. And, you know, and it's like, it's in your face.
Why not?
And it made me feel good because it's like, it's her way of saying, fuck you, Hollywood. And I know she was slightly uncomfortable doing it, but she just did. And you always saw her naked. You always saw her naked and she just let you see it. And it made her uncomfortable, but she let you. And I appreciate the fact that she's like, look at me. I'm not perfect. And well, I've got fat.
Well, what's funny was, Cheryl Ladd and Jacqueline Smith and Kate Jackson mm-hmm. were just here in Los Angeles for the 50th anniversary of Charlie's Angels.
Mm-hmm.
And they were on a dais and they were talking and Cheryl Ladd admitted, she goes, they kept putting me in bikinis and I was tired of it.
Yeah.
So she said she went to the set one day in the teeniest, tiniest bikini she could find. And then Spelling went, no, stop that. It was a little too much and
right.
She was like, thank you,
wow,
Mr. Spelling. I mean, he knew how to sell boobies,
right?
He knew how to sell women on television. I will never dismiss him on that. He was very good at that. But the fact that she kept wearing smaller and smaller bikinis to make him go, don't do that anymore,
right? That was genius
for Cheryl Ladd.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Very cool. That's good to know.
Yeah.
Well, I highly recommend Christina Applegate's book because I really can't get over it. It's now it's like a number one bestseller on New York Times. So and she deserves it. She's got multiple sclerosis.
So much. She's so amazing. She's an amazing actor.
Yeah.
She's very funny.
Mm-hmm.
She is so fucking funny. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't seen Dead Like Me, was that?
Yes.
Yes. Oh my God, y'all's.
I know.
It's done. But if you have not seen it, it is so good. She is so good. It's such a good buddy. And she was getting MS at the time.
Yeah.
And they worked around it. And God bless her. And she's just, I have never met
her. Yeah, she talked about that in the book.
Yeah. I've never met her, but I hope to meet her one day because I think
you probably will.
Awesome. I think she's awesome.
Because you know everybody, Jody.
I don't.
All right. Well, I'm going to let you go because I know you have to go do the politics bar.
The politics bar.
And it's always just lovely talking to you. Tell everybody where you are. Where are you outside of the politics bar?
Outside of the politics bar, I'm the Bob Seska Show.
Yes.
On Tuesdays and Thursdays, starting again next week because he's on vacation.
Yes, he is.
And I am also on The Stephanie Miller Show. And I was just on Tara Devlin's show last Friday, who is going to be on my show next week. And she is lovely. And listen to her. She's fantastic, Tara Devlin. And other than that, I just sleep.
Yes. Well, you're a busy woman. You've got all these jobs and appearances and whatnot. So, but that's because you're so super popular and we love you.
You're so sweet. I love you.
I love you. Oh, all right, Jody, get ready for work. Thanks for being on the show, and I can't wait to have you back.
Anytime. It's Jody Hamilton.
And Sean Smith-Pierce.
Here's a taste of what you might have missed from the Politics Bar.
Jody, I was listening to you this morning, filling in for Steph. You and Chris were debating, and just for the record, Jody is right. Chris's argument is that there is some truth to what's being said about the left being in their own information silo. Right.
Basically, we started talking about how Gavin Newsom has invited people on his podcast, High Up MAGA Guys.
Yeah. Well-known right-wing propagandists. That's what they are. Yeah.
And my argument is he shouldn't be inviting them because nobody on that side is listening to Gavin Newsom.
Right. It doesn't help to bring propagandists into a sphere where truth matters because they're just going to lie their asses off anyway.
Right.
So here is a public service message for Chris Lavoie. Jody Hamilton is right. Catch all that and more weeknights at the Politics Bar. Available through your favorite progressive radio station, your favorite podcast player, or online anytime at thepoliticsbar.com.
You ever wonder if your routine is actually working or if you're just hoping it is? The Hume Band gives you real answers. It tracks your body 24/7, heart rate, sleep stages, recovery, stress, even blood oxygen, so you can see exactly how your habits impact your health. Not just steps, real data. You'll start to notice patterns, like how a bad night of sleep affects your recovery or how stress is holding you back. And instead of guessing what to fix, the app gives you clear, personalized insights based on your data, so you can stop second-guessing and start making smarter decisions for your body. Visit HumeHealth.com to get the Hume Band today.